On this week's episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, I'll be talking with Travis Jackson from HV Pucks about the Bethlehem Suffern Regional Hockey game that came down to a shootout. We'll also recap the Section 2 basketball championships from last weekend, as well as a major victory by the Niskayuna swim team at the state meet, plus results from the state indoor track and field championships. All of this on this week's episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, with me, Rob Jonas, from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. Before I get to my interview with Travis Jackson from HV Pucks, let's talk basketball. Section 2 held its championships last weekend for boys and girls basketball. Up in Glens Falls, the boys' finals took place there, with Saratoga winning the Class AA title with a 69-58 victory over Bethlehem. Almost the exact opposite result of when Bethlehem and Saratoga met during the regular season, where Bethlehem won 69-59. In Class A, Troy defeated Gloversville 69-55. In Class B, Joseph Girard III scored 52 points to lead Glens Falls to a 77-56 victory over Chalmont. Class C, Hoosick Falls put forth a spirited effort, but in the end, Lake George prevailed 48-45 to extend its state best winning streak to 52 games. And in Class D, Oppenheim, Ephrata, St. Johnsville just about doubled up Germantown 47-25. The girls' finals took place last weekend at Hudson Valley Community College. In Class AA, top seeded Shenandoah defeated number 2 seed Saratoga 62-54. In Class A, April Park won its 6th straight Section 2 title by defeating Queensbury 50-41. In Class B, Mechanicville ended Fonda Fultonville's magical ride to the finals with a 56-43 victory over the number 13th seed. In Class C, Cambridge rallied for a 55-49 victory over Hoosick Falls. And in Class D, I had to make a correction from last week's episode. I told you folks that it was going to be Fort Edward versus Hartford. Turned out it was Notre Dame Bishop Gibbons versus North Warren. I misread the scores. Anyway, Notre Dame Bishop Gibbons, they came back to defeat North Warren 39-36. And a little cool note about what happened with the basketball finals. We had 3 teams winning their first titles in 3 decades. That would have been on the boys' side, Saratoga, which won their first title in 31 years. And on the girls' side, Mechanicville and Bishop Gibbons each won their first Section 2 titles since 1989. So congratulations to all of our Section 2 champions. We're now in the middle of regionals. One of our teams was eliminated. That was April Park. They lost to Janesville DeWitt out of Section 3, 65-60. So April Park's season ended. But all of our other Section 2 teams will be playing in the regional finals this weekend. If they get by that, then they will be going on to the state tournaments. The boys' state tournament will be back in Binghamton this year, although next year it will be back up in Glens Falls. And on the girls' side, the state Final Four will be over at Hudson Valley Community College, where it's been for, I don't know how many years now, but it's been there for a lot of years. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, our Section 2 representatives at the state tournament in Troy at Hudson Valley Community College. It'll be very interesting to see if any of our teams can come back with state titles. So when I get back here on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, I will be talking with Travis Jackson from HV Pucks. We're going to be talking about that epic battle between Bethlehem and Suffern in the Division 1 regionals, as well as a preview of the Division 2 state semifinal that will be contested on Buffalo Saturday morning between Queensbury and John Jay Cross River out of Section 1. So stay tuned for that interview coming up next here on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Welcome back to Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast, with me, Rob Jonas, from CapitalRegionHighSchoolSports.com. Joining me is a special guest. He follows high school hockey down in Section 1. He was at Saturday's regional game between Bethlehem and Suffern. He is the host of a podcast called HV Pucks. He also has a Twitter handle called 5 Minute Major. You can follow him at Travis Jacks. What's the last two digits of that?
It's TravJack71.
TravJack71.
Yep.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is Travis Jackson. Travis, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Rob, so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. I love what you're doing. Keep up the great work.
And you do a great job down there following Section 1 hockey. And you, as I mentioned, were at that epic battle between Bethlehem and Suffern in the regional final.
Yep.
Talk about it. What happened?
I think epic is certainly an appropriate word. I was there as the public address announcer. So when there were goals, when there were penalties, when there was 1 minute left in the game, what have you, you know, it was my responsibility to, you know, let the crowd know what was going on. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I mean, Bethlehem came out, even though they didn't have the lead in shots. I want to say the shots were very lopsided in the first period. I want something like 17 for Suffern, maybe 6 for Bethlehem. They had a 2-0 lead, you know, at the end of the first period with goals from Justin Shinnelly and Anthony Dennison. And I know Henry Coplin and Jonathan Thibodeau assisted on the Shinnelly goal. But what really impressed me also about Bethlehem, per se, was Michael Kajolik in the net. I had seen him the weekend prior. I know you and I talked about this off the air, Rob, but I had taken a trip up to Schenectady, up to Union College, because I wanted to see Bethlehem. I wanted to see CBA. I wanted to see Burnhills, Ballston Spa, and Shenandoah. I had seen two of those teams prior at another tournament, that being Shen and Burnhills, Ballston Spa, but I hadn't seen CBA or Bethlehem. And since I knew one of those teams is going to be coming down to play the Section 1, you know, champ, I wanted to kind of see what we were in for, and I was very, very impressed with what I saw out of the Bethlehem Eagles. They definitely move the puck well. They're fast. They're big. They're physical. You know, but at the end of the day, I think, you know, Suffern just found a way. You know, it started with, you know, a goal early on in the first period, in the third period, excuse me, from Suffern, and then, you know, we just built off that momentum. Let me go back and say, Ryan Schelling scored very early in the second period, and he was a difference maker. Ryan Schelling for Suffern is a freshman. Rob, he's already verbally committed to Providence College, so he is a difference maker. He scored like 18 seconds into the second period to cut, you know, Bethlehem's lead from 2-0 to 2-1. And then it was really kind of like a heavyweight bout at the end, you know, through the second period. Third period comes around with 56 seconds to go. Kyle Forrest to set up Tom McCarron to cut the lead to 3-2. And then with 11.8 seconds to go, Ryan Schelling scored again unassisted. But I do have to add that Michael Kurjolik was knocked out of the game in the third period. So a cold Heike Levasami had to come in, and I felt for him because, you know, he wasn't prepared. He wasn't warmed up. But, you know, he did an admirable job in there nonetheless. And then in the, you know, we survived four OTs. You know, anytime the puck was on a stick and someone's skating in on a breakaway, you could say to yourself, is this going to be it? Is this going to be it? And it was, again, back and forth, back and forth. Both teams survived four OTs. And at the end of the day, Suffern came out with a victory on a goal by Max Werfel, former student of mine, which was nice to see and announce his name. But yeah, it was an epic battle at the end of the day. You hit it right in the head. 62 shots on goal for Suffern, 40 shots on goal for Bethlehem, and the Mounties are moving on to the state tournament in Buffalo, which is where I'll be heading on Friday.
And that, folks, is all the way in Buffalo. This guy's boarding a flight to get there, because to drive from where he is and down in, you know, Suffern area all the way to Buffalo probably would take him the better part of an entire day. At least we around here have the luxury, if we want to go to Buffalo, it might be a 4 to 4.5 hour trip, depending on the weather conditions. Sometimes when you drive out west in New York State during the winter months, there's this little thing called lake effect snow.
Sure.
I don't know if you've heard of this, but lake effect snow can be quite problematic. I've had the unfortunate pleasure, that seems like an oxymoron actually, but I've had the misfortune of trying to drive through lake effect snow in the past.
Right.
It's not fun, folks.
Yeah,
but we're getting off the track here. Let's get back to hockey here, because there's something here that's missing from Bethlehem's scorebook here, and that is Michael Bévenu. He didn't score a goal in this game.
No, and it's interesting you bring that up, Rob, because in the section semifinal game against CBA, I mean, he was making it happen. He was definitely a factor on the ice. But he was very, very quiet. Because I had to say to coach, you know, give me, how do you pronounce this name? How do you pronounce that name? And I was expecting to announce Bévenu. The only time I really announced him, in all honesty, was opening lineups. You know, he didn't contribute. I want to say his brother actually took a penalty or two, if memory serves me correctly. But Michael Bévenu was not a factor in this game whatsoever.
And you have to think that the reason that was happened to be because Suffern did an exceptional job of matching lines to basically neutralize Bévenu. Because Bévenu came into this game having scored 52 goals this season. To completely stifle him, they must have figured out a way to just neutralize him with one of their lines, because that's the only explanation I could come up with.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I think Bethlehem did a nice job of neutralizing, you know, Kyle Foresta and Ryan Schelling as best as they could, and eventually, you know, their depth and their talent persevered. But I think you hit it right on the head in terms of neutralizing Bévenu really kind of took the offensive punch away from the Eagles. But they still were able to get contributions from, again, Chenaley and Dennison and Copland. So I did like what I saw from some of the other Eagles on the ice.
Yeah, and I mean, the secret to Bethlehem's success was somewhere around middle of the season, they actually took Bévenu off of a line with Chenaley and Connor Carroll and put him on a line with his brother William and Ben Levine. And that gave Bethlehem two scoring lines instead of just one. And then what happened was Bevenu's line wound up taking over the lead in terms of producing points for Bethlehem. They were still getting points throughout the season from Carroll and Chenaley, but it just kind of broadened Bethlehem's offensive scope, as it were. I'm not even sure that's the right way of putting it, but basically it just felt like when Bethlehem made that move to give Bévenu a different line and, you know, to work with his brother William and, you know, obviously Ben Levine, it just made those two players better. And at the same time, it gave Chenaley and Connor Carroll an opportunity to kind of match up against opposing teams' second line. And that allowed them to continue to contribute.
It's interesting that you brought up Ben Levine's name. He actually assisted on the Anthony Dennison goal that brought the Eagles up 2-0 in the late period.
So, well, that's good.
You just kind of jogged my memory a little bit. And Connor Carroll assisted on the third goal by Henry Copland.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned earlier, Jonathan Thibodeau assisted on the first goal. So,
I
really liked what I saw from Bethlehem when I went up to Schenectady, and I liked what I saw on the ice against Suffern, but ultimately the Mounties found a way.
Right.
Following them, as well as the John Jay Cross River Indians up to Buffalo. And as we discussed last year, I went up to Queensbury and watched John Jay knock Queensbury out of the playoffs. And, Dean Williams and I were kind of joking last week and said, hey, wouldn't it be neat if John Jay and Queensbury met up in the state semifinals? And that's exactly what is going to happen. I had the good fortune of talking to Dean Williams last night, I will actually tweet out a link to that interview, and I will tag your show's Twitter account so your listeners can hear that. I asked him, if he felt or if the team felt any pressure coming into the season, and he said the team didn't feel any pressure. He felt that last year they had a really good season that ended too soon, again, with that loss to John Jay. So their goal coming into this year, 18-19, was to extend the season as much as possible. He's really pleased with the senior leadership on the Spartan squad. There are some juniors that have definitely stepped up and contributed as well. He's pleasantly surprised with how well the team has gelled. There was some adversity late in the season with some injuries, but as of right now, everybody is healthy and expected to play. When it comes to, describing the Spartans, style of play, he just said, we're a hardworking group. Talked a little bit about, the biggest challenge that he's going to face, as a coach, getting the kids ready for Buffalo. And he said, this is their first trip to Buffalo. Told me that the last year that they played the championships in Utica, that Queensbury was up there in the finals, but this will be their first trip to Buffalo. So trying to kind of keep the kids in that day while preparing them, for arguably, a difficult game against John Jay. That's a big challenge. And when I said, what are the keys to the game? He just said, as cliche as it sounds, we need to play Spartan hockey. We need to play our game, which is, again, a fast, fast game, hard work game, tough pursuit. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a big tilt between John Jay and Queensbury on Saturday. That actually is the game that's going to kick everything off at 9:30 at the Harbor Center.
Wow.
March 9th.
Yeah, and that's a very early start time out there. But the one thing we were talking beforehand about this, John Jay and Queensbury are kind of similar in the fact that they have strong defenses and very good goaltenders.
Absolutely.
This very well could shape up to be a very low-scoring game. I mean, it could be like the first team to two goals wins in all likelihood. Talk a little bit about John Jay and what they bring to the table in this semifinal. And by the way, it should be pointed out this is Division II, ladies and gentlemen.
Correct.
There are two divisions in high school hockey for New York State. One is Division I, which is the large schools, and then Division II is the small schools. And Queensbury, by the way, is the only Section II school that's in Division II. So let's talk about, this matchup and what John Jay is, has to offer here.
I have, I have two words for you when it comes to John Jay, and it really starts and ends with Eric Sasimovich. He is the goalie. He made 32 saves against West Seneca West, which again was the team that ironically knocked John Jay out of the state championship tournament last year. So it was nice for them to exact some revenge on that squad. Eric made 32 saves against West Seneca West for a 3-0 shutout. He came up to me prior to the game, cool as a cucumber. He's not the kind of kid that's easily rattled. Again, he made some tremendous, dare I say, almost NHL style highlight saves to keep things at 3-0. He's been described as really an inspirational leader, a vocal leader this season by other members of the John Jay Cross River Indian squad. They graduated 11 seniors and started the season off 1-5. So if you were to tell me at the beginning of this season that John Jay would have been, going to Buffalo or going to be the Division II Section I champion, I would have told you you were crazy. But they've got a number of freshmen that are stepping up and assuming roles. Kids like Tyler Wishart, kids like Danny Marshke, kids like Maddie Whirl. Those are all freshmen that really should. Justin DeLucia is another freshman that you need to pay attention to. And then you've got a couple of you've got a senior there in Charlie Ostreicher. As I mentioned, Eric Sasimovich is a senior. You've got a couple of other sophomores that have stepped up. A kid like Jacob Silva comes to mind on the blue line. And then you've got Jack Brown. He's a junior forward. He also is a very dynamic player. So they're well coached. Like I said, they started off 1-5. I interviewed Coach Alex Smith last week, so you can never count the Indians out, and they proved that with the way they kind of rebounded after a very shaky start. And in talking to this squad, they said right around Christmas, they came out and they beat Horace Greeley. Horace Greeley, in my opinion, was a dark horse, was a team that was really expected to do a lot of damage. And they actually beat them. And that kind of signified the beginning of this turnaround for John Jay. So, like you said, it's two defensive teams, two teams with very good goaltending as far as Queensbury and John Jay. I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair. But sometimes those games can be exciting, too. It doesn't have to be an offensive explosion for it to be exciting.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it's going to be a great game. And what a way to kick off the state tournament in Buffalo. Travis, thank you so much for joining me on the show this week. I greatly appreciate it. And we need to talk again very soon because one of the things that will be happening or has already been happening and will actually happen again this weekend, there's been kind of a change in how much time per period.
Yep.
You know, and we got to talk about this because this was kind of one of these in-season kind of decisions that, believe me when I say, I mean, I've already told my audience this a couple of times about this switch, but we need to talk about the impact it actually had and everything. But Travis, thank you so much for joining me, and we'll talk again very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Travis Jackson. On Twitter, he's known as TravJack72.
71.
Almost got it right, but his that's his actual handle. The name on there is 5 Minute Major. He also has his own podcast that focuses on, you know, hockey down in Section 1. It's called HV Pucks, P-U-C-K-S. Yep. So you want to tune in. You want to listen to what this guy has been doing because he's done extremely good work promoting high school hockey down the Hudson Valley. So, Travis, thank you again, and I hope to talk to you really soon.
You know what? I would love to come back on, Rob, and talk about the changes, the rule changes. Midstream, we kind of went from 17-2 to 15.5, and I have some very strong feelings and thoughts on that. I'm connected with a couple of guys that are on the state hockey committee, so like I said, I definitely would love to come back on and talk about this great game with you at any time. Thanks again for the opportunity. For people that are, wanting to look or looking for a different kind of angle or coverage from the state tournament, by all means, check out at TravJack71 on Twitter, and I'll give you what you need.
All right. Thank you again, Travis, and talk to you really soon.
Be well, my friend. Take care.
You too. And we'll be back on Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast.
Welcome back to Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Well, the Niskayuna boys swim team came through with a big-time performance at the State Swimming and Diving Championships over the weekend in Long Island. The Silver Warriors wound up winning the team title with 189 points, 6 points ahead of Great Neck South. And Shenandoah, coincidentally, they finished fourth with 163 points, which was only 5 points out of third place. So we might have had two Section 2 teams in the top three this year, which I don't know if that's ever happened before. I know Section 2 teams have done well as states in the past, but to have two teams finish in the top four and quite possibly even finish in the top three is outstanding. What fueled, their performances was really their relays. Niskayuna won the 200-yard freestyle relay with an All-American consideration time of 1 minute and 25.86 seconds. That relay team was made of Victor Shingo, Mark Lipkin, Scott Ward, and Brian Liu. I hope I pronounced his last name correctly there. And then that same Niskayuna relay team wound up finishing second in the 400 freestyle relay with a time of 3 minutes 9.16 seconds. Who finished ahead of them? Glad you asked. It was Shen! The team of Caleb Holtailing, Alexander Fabry, James Jordan, and Jackson Holman. They wound up winning the state title in that event with an All-American consideration time of 3 minutes 8.93 seconds. So, you get 40 points when you win a relay as opposed to 20 points when you win an individual title, so that's where a lot of the Niskayuna and Shen points came from. And it should also be mentioned that in the medley relay, Niskanen finished second with a time of 1 minute 35.71 seconds. Shen was fourth with a time of 1 minute 35.87 seconds. And going down the list, hey, look at that. Albany Academy in sixth place with a time of 1:37.41. And Bethlehem also making a top 10 finish in that event with a time of 1:38.42. So relays were definitely a strong point for Section 2 teams at States. Individually, probably the top individual performance was Caleb Hotaling from Shen. He was third in the 200-yard individual medley with a time of 1:53.46. And that was only 1/100th of a second ahead of Queensbury's David Walton, who finished fourth. And just taking a quick look here through my notes, don't really see too much else. Brian Hankel from Albany Academy, he was fourth in the 200-yard freestyle. He also placed sixth in the 100-yard butterfly. And Brian Liu, still having a little bit of difficulty with that last name. He was fourth in the 100-yard backstroke with a time of 51.97 seconds. Walton from Queensbury, he was fifth in that event. So individually, some solid performances, but the relays, those really stole the show for Section 2 at the state swim meet. So congratulations to Niskanen for winning the state title and for Shen for finishing fourth. Good job. Now, over in Staten Island, different part of downstate New York there, the Indoor Track and Field Championships took place back on Saturday. And Section 2 did some really good things, especially on the boys' side at States. If I can get to that in my notes. I took a lot of notes here, and I got to get to them. The pages are sticking together a little bit. The end of the notebook is always a little difficult on that front. Okay, on the boys' side, Shea Wildbaker from Saratoga. He won the state title in the boys' 3200-meter race with a time of 9 minutes, 4.62 seconds. Not far behind, Bernal's Boston Lakes Tyler Berg, who was third in that event, with a time of 909.16. Also, Saratoga's 3200-meter relay team won with a time of 7 minutes, 56.60 seconds. That team was made of Noah Flanders, Peter Muller, Ryan Postel. Yeah, I'm not going to get that kid's last name correctly. But Ryan Postlewaite and Ezra Ruggles, they wound up winning the state title. Shen was third in that event with a time of 7:58.70. And Section 2's distance medley relay team, they also took home a state title with a time of 8 minutes, 55.07 seconds. That team consisted of Evan Brennan from, I believe, Burnt Hills, Anthony Kazi from Columbia, Isaac Menes, and William Wallace. And finally, Donald Jones from Albany Academy, he earned a state title in the boys' pole vault. He cleared the bar at 15 feet 3 inches. Ravina Queeman Selkirk's Shane Racy placed third in that event after clearing the bar at 15 feet. So, as I said, the boys did exceptionally well there at States. On the girls' side, I believe we have, I just got to look at this real quick. Best performances there. Shen's girls 3200 meter relay team, they were second with a time of 9 minutes, 17.38 seconds. That relay team consisted of Jade Dennis, Madeline Feston, Hannah Belleville, and Jada Dennis. Rory Graham from Bernal's Boston Lake, she was third in the girls' 1,000-meter race with a time of 2:52.98. And in the field events, Shenandoah's Chidera Animezi, she was second in the shot put with a throw of 41 feet 6 inches. So that's kind of a look at what Section 2 did at the State Indoor Track and Field Championships. And by the way, the State Bowling Championships will be taking place this weekend out in Syracuse, so we'll be going over that and next week's episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. I'll be back to wrap things up in just a moment. Well, that wraps up this episode of Capital Region High School Sports, the podcast. Once again, I'd like to thank Travis Jackson from HV Pucks for joining me on to talk hockey. You can hear his podcast called HV Pucks on SoundCloud, and you can also find him on Twitter as 5 Minute Major. As for me, I'll be talking to you next week when we find out more about who's going to be representing our region at the state basketball championships, and we'll look back at what happened out in Syracuse at the state bowling tournament. So until then, this is Rob Jones from Capital Region High School Sports.com wishing you all a good week. See you next Friday.